All right. Hey, this is the Rebel Room, special edition. It's Monday. We usually tape on Mondays, but today we've got some live news. UNLV has parted ways with UNLV coach Tony Sanchez. Sanchez with 2 years left on his contract. UNLV on the hook for $600,000 total. So the new era of UNLV football officially over. The Rebels 3-8 heading into the finale Saturday against UNR. Canning game, Sanchez will coach, but after that he will be gone and UNLV will find a new coach. A lot to talk about alongside the man, Mike Grimala. Mike, first thoughts.
First thoughts, not surprising at all, right? I mean, we all knew this was coming. As soon as they lost that game at Colorado State, they fell to 2-7. That eliminated them from bowl contention. Tony Sanchez was only brought back for this season with the mandate that you have to make a bowl game or you're gone. Once that became impossible, you know, that was pretty much the end for him. So a little surprised by the timing, right? I thought that he would finish out this. I'm surprised they announced it before the game, since Desiree Reed-Francois has always been adamant that she wasn't going to change coaches in season. Tony Sanchez said he wasn't going to step down. So I wonder what the thought process was behind doing this before the finale.
Yeah, and I think you had a good theory when we were talking offline that, you know, by doing this now, you prevent any arguments. So say if they went into Reno and they won by 30 points, and that would give Tony a 3-2 record against UNR, and he could come to the table and say, listen, you asked me to fundraise. I brought in $30 million. You got a new football complex. At least let me sit in my office for a few days, use the toilet, use the weight room, recruit towards that, and see what could happen. You know, I won on the road at a SEC school. I'm 3-2 against Reno. I won more games in 4 years than your two previous coaches won in 5, right?
Yep.
So you could argue, even though she'd put bowl game or bust out there, he could have had a good argument by saying, hey, listen, we won 2 games to close out the year. And, of course, she obviously puts an end to that. All athletic directors are always, you know, working behind the scenes to find their next coach when it's going to happen. She surely has already started doing that, but this gives her an official week, you know, on the recruiting trail to bring in the new head coach. The quicker you get that flipped over, the better, because the new December signing period
is coming up very soon.
Yeah, and, you know, the recruits that UNLV has, who knows if the new coach will want, and you got to really work to kind of solidify a signing class.
You could be bringing in a coach who runs a completely different system. You could be bringing in a coach who runs, you know, the run and shoot or the air raid or something like that, and none of these recruits are going to transfer to that. So you may bring in a coach who doesn't want them. You may bring in a guy who's very similar to Sanchez's system and, you know, wants to keep some of them. You don't know, but it's the sooner you know and the sooner you get someone in here, obviously the better it is for recruiting.
Yeah, and you've got a holiday week with Thanksgiving, and it's whoever comes in is going to be under the gun, especially because you got to hire assistants as well. And, you know, if you're hiring an assistant coach, those guys are probably in the middle of seasons and, you know, potentially going to a bowl game. So by the time you get your new coach and your new staff, you're probably missing the December signing period. So UNLV up against it, and it's just a constant cycle with the program. I've seen it my whole life, right? 5 years, hit the reset button, bring in a new guy. 5 years, hit the reset button, bring in the new guy. I think the one difference this time is that Sanchez has left the program massively better off than anybody else.
He did.
In terms of the facility and what he was able to do to kind of fundraise to set them up with the training table and a few other things, and he's, the way he embraced Las Vegas. So it's going to be interesting to see how UNLV grows from that. And what kind of coach do they want? Do they want a young coordinator type who could be an up-and-comer? Do they want somebody who's been there and done that or who's accomplished? And how much money are they going to spend?
The big question you and I were batting around in the newsroom before this was, what is going to be the budget for this hire? Because that's the big question that sort of limits or expands your possibilities for head coach. We know when Desiree Reed-Francois fired Marvin Menzies, she gave a press conference and said, you know, we want to make the coach the highest paid coach in the Mountain West. We should be able to do that. And they did. They hired T.J. Otzelberger, and by the end of his contract, he'll be the highest paid coach in the Mountain West. Can they do that for football? Like, that UNLV has never been that kind of football program that makes that much money or generates that much revenue where they can sustain that. And she did it in basketball without, you know, any booster assistance. Like, that's all money that's, you know, generated by the program. Does football have those kind of reserves to go out and get someone, you know, for $1 million plus? Sanchez was making $600,000 per year under his current extension. $300,000 of it was guaranteed. So they owe him $600,000 over the next 2 years. It's not insignificant, but it's not a huge chunk either, I don't think, spread out over 2 years.
Yeah, and I think you need to remember you're moving into the new stadium, and each home game you're going to have to pay to play there. So you got to factor in that expense, which you didn't have at Sam Boyd Stadium. And you're not keeping any of the concession revenue there. So when you're adding up how the program's going to look and feel, yeah, you want to make a new splash. Every ticket sold at that new stadium could help pay down the salary of the new coach. But by no means is if you miss in football, that's tough. And, you know, TJ Otzelsberger, you know, the verdict is still out in terms of what kind of run he's going to have here. He's 2-4 or 5 as we record this. But, you know, he had his first signing day and he didn't bring in, you know, maybe one out of the 6 kids he signed was a marquee guy who had a better offer, Nick Blake, who could have went to Kansas State. So Desiree is definitely got to feel some of the pressure because, you know, she's impacted UNLV athletics absolutely in her first 2 years. But this is how her legacy is going to be, these two hires, football and basketball, the mirror of your university. And she's got to hit a home run.
Yeah, she went young and up and coming with the basketball hire. Although he did have, Otzelberger did have head coaching experience and, you know, good head coaching experience, 2 NCAA tournaments in 3 years. But he was, you know, he's on the younger side. He's making a step up to the Mountain West. You see that kind of hire for football, you know, with the salary range you have, you think it'll be someone, you know, that maybe we haven't heard of or we're not familiar with. I know the fans are already throwing out, you know, some of the older, more established coaches who are maybe out of the game right now, but you think it's going to be probably skew younger?
You know, for me, I think that's the best way to go. UNLV has in the past gone with a more established older coach.
I mean, John Robinson was the most successful move that they've made, you know, probably in our lifetimes.
Absolutely. And he was able to go in and get kids who needed a second chance, a la Jason Thomas, who came from USC, and was able to win and have a magical year. Jason Thomas to Nate Hawkins, I still remember the great quarterback wide receiver combo. So it's not unheard of for the program. I know everybody's like, oh, well, UNLV is going to bring in a young coach, and then that guy's going to be looking to get somewhere else, and you know, there'll be no continuity. And I'm thinking, well, of all the coaches they've had, Sanford, Hauk, Sanchez, all young guys who couldn't get it done. Let's find somebody who could get it done, who could roll up their sleeves and win some games.
Do you want to throw a name out there? I know you've been – there's some names I've run by you already today that are out there in the Twitter sphere that you've gotten your blood boiling, and some others that maybe intrigue you. Do you want to start speculating on – some guys that you
and see that's the thing. It's like I think maybe you were doing this to piss me off.
Yes,
you were.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're like, why don't we hire Todd Graham?
Todd, that was one of the ones that popped up on Twitter
for $1.5 million. And I'm like, that, why are we going to hire a guy who's failed elsewhere with unlimited resources and bring him here and pay him more than double than the guy before him with the lack of resources? Mm-hmm. And even though, yeah, Sanchez is got the program with the facility and the new stadium and some of the other things all rocking and rolling, it's still a 2-win team every year. 2-3 wins this year, 4 wins the year before. It'll be 2 next year. The schedule's impossible. Whoever you're bringing in, know he's going to go 2-10. Absolutely promise you.
This is the name that I'm kind of looking at myself. Just purely speculation. You know, we haven't enough time hasn't gone by to start, you know, seeing anything happen behind the scenes, but purely speculation. If you want to win in the Mountain West, why not hire someone that has won in the Mountain West? I look at Nick Rolovich at Hawaii, who has made it to 2 bowl games. They're on their way to the 3rd bowl game in his 4 years. Runs an exciting offense. They do the run and shoot. They throw the ball around. They score 30-plus points a game. He's also the lowest paid coach in the Mountain West. That's someone that you could actually offer him a raise, probably, to get him to come here.
Yeah, but again, that guy, as you'd also pointed out, is a Hawaii grad.
He is a Hawaii guy. He's, you know.
And the one thing that you got to be careful of is you don't want somebody to use UNLV as leverage with their current job.
That's true.
And that's what I think would happen.
But
there.
He stood out to me as he's young, he's 40 years old, he's won in the Mountain West, he's got an offense that, you know, will be fun to watch, and you can offer him a raise. So you can probably. That's what you can offer him to leave Hawaii. You can say, hey, we'll double your pay from $400,000 to $800,000. You think UNLV can offer him $800,000 a year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think $800,000 is more than acceptable. It's just, I don't know. It is what it is. You know, UNLV, here's the bottom line, Grimala, has never had back-to-back bowl seasons.
Yep.
Okay. Think about that. Never had back-to-back bowl seasons. And right now, the current state of the Mountain West is the league is as crappy and fool's parody as it's ever been. You take Boise State out, and there are 11 teams or 10 teams that could beat each other on any given Saturday afternoon. We saw Reno went down to Fresno and won, right?
Yep.
We've seen Hawaii with, as you said, 3 bowl games in 4 years. Talk about a team with no facilities or no anything, right? Travel problems getting on and off the island. You've got Wyoming. Colorado State's got its new stadium. They've been down the last few years. This league is so – to get 6 wins, and even San Jose State has got 4 wins this year. This is a league that you should be able to get a good quarterback and go on a run and win 6 games in back-to-back years.
He should. It's kind of Sanchez. There were some embarrassing losses during the Sanchez era. Like they lost, you know, 50-point game to New Mexico at home stands out. The Howard game obviously stands out. But for the most part, like I wouldn't say that it was a complete disaster. You know, it's not like he was pumping out 1 win, 2 wins like we've seen every other coach at UNLV. You know, they were 4 wins, 5 wins, 4 wins. They get a chance for 4 wins this year. They were bad. I wouldn't say it was a disaster. So it's kind of, you would think that just 1 year, if you're not terrible, you can stumble into 6 wins somewhere. I think that was their chance. They had their chance in 2017. They went 5-7 with that loss to Howard, which is just going to haunt Tony Sanchez and follow him around. If you win that game against Howard, you're 6-6. You're in a bowl game 2 years ago. You probably get a little more leeway this year. So, yeah, you can probably trace it back to that game. It is, with the way the league is going and, you know, the level of competition, it is kind of hard to believe that they can't string together 6 wins out of 12 games at some point during that stretch.
And that you bring up that Howard game, and you're 100% right. They win that game. They go to a bowl in 2017. Also, they're a yard away from beating Reno in Reno that year.
Yes.
And now it's a different narrative with UNLV. And that's the one thing when you're not good, and they're not, the inconsistency is just overwhelming, right? Lose at home to Howard. Bobby's years lose to Southern Utah, Northern Arizona, right? Go to Vandy and win. Explain that. Even though Vandy sucks and they're the worst team in the SEC, go to Vandy and win, right? Go down to San Diego State and as an 18-point dog and win.
Go to Fresno State with your backup quarterback and win when they were the best team in the league, you know, 2 years ago, yeah, that same season. So
they've done some good things. It's just, again, when you're that bad, it's tough to piece together. And I think Tony spent his first few years trying to fix what was broke in terms of, you know, the infrastructure of the program, where he could have probably cheated a little bit and helped himself out with some JC transfers and some key spots instead of trying to develop some guys. But he did everything right for the program. I mean, my God, he did. He won everything except the games, in my opinion.
Never quite hit on a quarterback either, which is always going to set you back. Like they
he
took
probably overvalued Armani.
And that's, you know, that he took that was a home run swing. And if Armani works out and he, you know, becomes a better passer each season instead of regressing, it's a home run, and he becomes he would be a great player if he could throw at all, but he just did not develop on that end. Probably a gamble worth taking for the talent level that he has, but it just didn't work out. Just another thing that ended up breaking against Sanchez.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the Rebel Room. Thanks for everybody for following us, and we'll have coverage from the Fertitta Football Complex later today.